Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 20, Texts 44 through 46. Siddhan vidyataram shaiva tirotani naso surjat tebhyo dadattam atmanam antarthana kyamadbhutam. Then Lord Brahma, by his ability to be hidden from vision, created the siddhas and vidyataras, and gave them that wonderful form of his, known as the antarthana. Purport. Antarthana means that these living creatures can be perceived to be present, but they cannot be seen by vision. Text 45. Sakinnaran kim purushan pratyat yena srijat prabhu Manayannatmanatmanam atmapasam vilokayam. One day, Brahma, the creator of the living entities, beheld his own reflection in the water, and admiring himself, he evolved kinpurushas, as well as kinnaras, out of that reflection. Text 46. Te tu tat jagarhu rupam tyaktam yat padameshtina mituni bhuya gayantas tam evoshasi karmapi. Te tu taj jagarha, te tu taj jagarhu rupam, tyaktam yat padameshtina, mituni bhuyagayantas, tame voshasi karmabhi. They, the kinnaras, and kinpurushas. Tu, but, tat, that, jagarhu, took possession of, rupam, that shadowy form, tyaktam, given up, yat, which, padameshtina, by Brahma, mituni bhuya, coming together with their spouses. Gayantaha, praised in song. Tam, him, eva, only, ushasi, at daybreak. Karmapi, with his exploits. The kimpurushas and kinnaras took possession of that shadowy form left by Brahma. That is why they and their spouses sing his praises by recounting his exploits at every daybreak. Purport. The time early in the morning, 1.5 hours before sunrise, is called Brahma Muhurta. During this Brahma Muhurta, spiritual activities are recommended. Spiritual activities performed early in the morning have a greater effect than in any other part of the day. Siddhan vidyataram shaiva tirodhani naso srijat tebhyo dadattam atmanam antarthanakyam adbhutam. Sakinnaran kim purushan pratyatmen asrijat prabho manayannatmanatmanam atmabhasam vilokayam. Te tu taj jagarhu rupam tyaktam yat parameshtina mituni bhuya gayanta tam evoshasi karmabhi. The various living entities are appearing from the body of Lord Brahma, and the description is continuing of the different varieties. Siddhan Vidyadharam's Jayava Tirudhan and Sosurja. Lord Brahma has the ability to be hidden. He has the capability for antartan, invisibility. Invisibility is sometimes, yes, it's available. By mystic power, one can become invisible. This is one of the mystic powers. We don't know how to do that, but it's possible to do that. Some things are visible, some things are not visible. There are so many radio waves which are existing in this room, but they're not visible. Some things are not visible because they're too small. There's so many microbes, they're also not visible. Or sometimes by matching the background, something becomes invisible. The crabs on the seashore, when they're standing still, are invisible because they match the sand. So, a living being may be invisible. And specifically, the siddhas and vidyadharas, have this capability. At will, they can become invisible. A little crab can become invisible. For a human being to become invisible is quite a trick. But they know the trick. They can do that. Now also, for military purposes, they try to make some plane that will be invisible, not detectable. But the siddhas have this capability. Even certain demons have this capability. That Shalva had an airplane that was sometimes visible, sometimes not visible. So these things are possible. And Adbhuta, it's wonderful. Or Adbhuta means unnatural. Very wonderful thing for us. But for the siddhas, these are ordinary things. They can perform so many mystic acts. And for them, it's not strange. But for us, it's very, very wonderful thing. Adbhuta. The mystic yogis sometimes become captivated by these powers. As in ordinary human society, someone has some capability, he thinks, I'm so wonderful. I know how to pick good stocks on the stock market. I know how to play wonderful music. I know how to do some program, a computer, to do wonderful things. They become proud that I can do something wonderful. And they don't realize that these wonderful capabilities are coming from Krishna. They don't appreciate that these wonderful capabilities are coming from Krishna. Whatever little capability we have, Krishna has unlimitedly. Take invisibility. The yogi, let's say, or siddha, may become invisible sometimes. But Krishna has the capability to be everywhere and invisible. Alaksha sarvabhutanam antarbhir avastitam. He's within everyone's heart, he's within every atom, he's between all the atoms, he's everywhere, and still he's completely invisible. He's completely invisible. This is Krishna's mystic power, Paschime Yogamaishara. Krishna is the Yogeshwara, master of all mystic powers. So the wonderful powers of this material world are nothing compared to Krishna's powers. Sometimes we find there's a yogi who has some little magical capability. Magic means that you can do something and no one other people can't understand how you're doing it. The siddhas become invisible. They know how they're doing it, but we don't know. So it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Even in the ordinary magic show, the magician does something. He saws a woman in half, or he makes water appear from inside his hat. And we think this is wonderful. Because we don't know how he does it, it's wonderful. There was a magic show one time in Mayapur, and I was sitting next to one of our sannyasis, and he's seeing all the wonderful things the magician was doing. He said, "I think he actually has some mystic powers." And then sitting next to us on the other side was a devotee who'd lived for some years and worked in the circus. And he was telling us exactly how he was doing each and every trick. "Watch this, he's doing this. Watch that, he's doing that. Watch this, he's doing this." He was explained. So to the person who wasn't informed, it seemed like actually he had some mystic power. And to the person who knew, this is how he does this, this is how he does that, this is how he does this. Even the mystic power, actual mystic power, for those who know, it's not. Therefore, Narad Muni, when he saw Krishna, he went to the palace in Dwarka, he saw Krishna. Krishna worshipped him. Then Narad went to the next palace, he again saw Krishna. Third palace, again saw Krishna. So he wasn't so impressed, because he himself knows the trick. The yogis like Narad Muni can expand themselves in up to 6 or 7 forms. So when he saw Krishna expanded into 3, he wasn't so, "Yes, Krishna, I can do this, Krishna can do this, why not?" But when he saw that Krishna was living in 16,000 palaces, and in each palace acting independently, doing something different, then he was astonished. How is it possible? So this is Krishna's mystic power. He has unlimited mystic power. This is God. But people are so foolish that they see a little insignificant trick and they think, "Oh, this must be God." If someone can produce a little gold from out of the air or out of his sleeve, or if he can produce a little ash, then they think, "Oh, he must be God." Because they don't know. And even so many materially conditioned souls have these powers. The siddhas are not God. The vidyadharas are not God. They're not even on the level of Lord Brahma. They're minor demigods. They're minor demigods. They're not the big demigods like Surya or Chandra or what to speak of Lord Shiva. They're minor. They're called upadevas, something like the demigods. But they have these powers. They can fly in the sky without any vehicle. They can create something. They can become heavier than the heaviest. They can become lighter than the lightest. They actually have these powers. They don't have to fake it. But still, that's not the qualification for becoming the Supreme Personality of God. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has all mystic powers unlimitedly. He has all opulences unlimitedly. All beauty. I may be able to perform some magic tricks, but I may not be very beautiful. I may be, in fact, very ugly. Then how can I be Bhagavan? All beauty, all knowledge, all fame, strength, wealth, renunciation, happiness. These are there in Krishna, but, and not in the small. Imitations. It's mentioned that the Kim Purushas and Kinnaras sing the praises of Lord Brahma at daybreak, and Srila Prabhupada mentions the importance of the Brahma Muhurta, this early morning time. Every time of day is suitable for a particular activity. According to Ayurveda, noontime is the best time for lunch, for eating, because the fire of digestion is strong at midday. Now, of course, especially in the Western civilization, people have their main meal at 9 o'clock at night. Because the idea is to work from 9 to 5, then 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, you can come home and eat. But actually, according to the Vedic civilization, main meal should be in the middle of the day, and evening light, or nothing at all. Light in the evening. Why? Because the circumstances are more suitable at the middle of the day. Take your meal, take some rest. Still, in even some European countries, that culture is there. Even though it's just in the Middle East also, people are driving 1 hour from their workplace to come home and take their lunch. Now, gradually, it's becoming 9 to 5, and these things are being lost. But they come home, they break, take their lunch, take some rest, and later they go back and do their business. Nighttime is the best time for sleeping. Especially from, say, about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. That time is good for sleeping. Nighttime. The world grows dark. You can't do so much anyway. And it's the right time for taking rest. But in the modern civilization, they're backwards. When the sun goes down, they're getting started. Either they're beginning their work, you know, get up at 7 o'clock in the evening and start work. Work all night, some factory somewhere. Or else, they start partying. Go out and party all night. Or else, stay up till 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, watching television. And then they'll sleep till any hour, if possible. The time which is most suitable for spiritual realization, they'll sleep through. And the time that's suitable for sleeping, they'll use for some nonsense. So this means they're out of harmony, out of sync with even the laws of material nature. They don't know what time is best for what activity. Anything, anytime, helter-skelter. Similarly, their lifetime, they don't know that the earlier part of life is good for student activities, for spiritual culture. To learn control of the mind, control of the senses. And the middle of life is good for householder life. And then, say from 50 years, retired life. And then sannyas, renounced life. That also they don't know. They don't know what time is suitable for what, and they don't know that all the time is meant for Krishna consciousness. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Smartavyam Satatam Vishnu, Vismartavyam Najatija, Jatija, Jatija. One should always remember Vishnu at every moment. Ananyas Chintiyantro Ma Yejana Paripasite. They don't know this. So they don't know how to use which time for what, and actually they waste their whole time by neglecting Krishna. And the devotee wants to use 24 hours for Krishna's service. And he tries to adjust so that the suitable work is done at the suitable time. Especially the early morning hours are so suitable for spiritual realization. Spiritual realization is the most important aspect of human life. So the cultured person is very careful to use that morning time, Brahma Muhurta, for spiritual activities. That time, whatever you do at that time for spiritual advancement is more effective. Just as according to Ayurveda, the rest that you get before midnight is more effective. It gives more rest than the sleep after midnight. Just one of those things, practical facts. And people don't know it, so they stay up till midnight, and then they sleep till whatever. But the Krishna conscious person sees this time, Brahma Muhurta, is so valuable. Let me use it for chanting Hare Krishna. Let me use it for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Let me use it for seeing the deity, offering obeisances to the deity. Let me use it for thinking of Krishna. Uses that time, then the whole day becomes spiritualized. By the potency of that Brahma Muhurta time and the spiritual activities performed at that time, the whole day becomes infused with spiritual qualities. The householders so often ask, you know, we're working in the material world, how can we be Krishna conscious when we have so many... But this is crucial. If you use this early morning time for spiritual activities, that early morning spiritual potency will change the whole day. It will help spiritualize the whole day. And if you get up just in time to have a cup of coffee and get on a bus or something and start working, then how will you make spiritual progress? A building, if you just want to start putting up the pillars, putting up the roof, and you haven't put down a foundation, What kind of building will it be? When you start with the foundation, then you put the pillars, then you put the roof, then you get something. So this is fundamental. It doesn't matter whether you're Vaishnav or Mayavadi or whatever, any kind of spiritual practice, even Christian, Buddhist, this early morning time is suitable. And especially for the Vaishnavas, who are focused on Krishna consciousness, it's very valuable. Even Krishna himself set the example when he was living in Dwarka. He used to get up at Brahma Muhurta time. It's mentioned that there was no need of alarm clocks. The roosters used to crow and signal the beginning of the day. And Krishna would get up very strictly. Therefore, it's mentioned that Rukmini Devi was not very happy about these roosters. Because Krishna would leave her side and go off and do his actually spiritual activities. Krishna, although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, while living as a householder in Dwarka, set the example. He was getting up early. He was chanting Gayatri Mantra. He was giving charity. He was touching auspicious items. He was meditating on himself. Because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And meditation means to meditate on the Supreme. He meditated on himself. Actually, there's nothing else to meditate on because he's everything. So Krishna used to meditate on himself. But Srila Prabhupada comments, that doesn't mean that we should meditate on ourselves. We should meditate on Krishna, Radha Krishna. That's the right use. And in this age, meditation is most effectively performed by transcendental sound, by hearing and chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada told us that we should very strictly get up in the morning. He said, even if you have to crawl, you should come to Mangalarti. He said, somehow or other, you have to come. Not that there's this. Somehow or other, strictly, we should get up early in the morning and come to the Mangalarti. Later, if you need to take rest, all right, take rest. But don't miss the most valuable part of the day. If you have to miss something, miss some other part of the day. But don't miss this most valuable part. Maybe if we're working or whatever, we may have to make some rearrangement. Rearrange our life in such a way that we can take advantage of this valuable time. That should be our program. Begin even the biggest industrialists and the simplest shopkeepers can follow this program. Use the beginning part of the day for chanting the holy name of the Lord. I saw someplace in South India, and I was staying just above the main street. Early in the morning, before the sun would come up, the first person on the street was the Tiwala. And he would open up his little shop, and he would have some agarbati, and he would do a little puja. You know, he's not a Brahmin, he's not a sadhu, he's a Tiwala. But still, he would use the early morning time for performing some pious activity, some spiritual activity. Then he would do his business. Actually, in that same place, many places, especially in South India, very commonly, there'll be chanting of Vishnu Sahasranam or mantras, a broadcast for everyone to, even the Muslims. They also have their six times a day, and the first time of day is early morning. They also have some spiritual process, and they also recognize that you don't start your spiritual life, you don't start your devotion to God at 8 o'clock in the morning. You start early. You start early. So this is the principle. It doesn't matter what your religion is, what your country is, what your anything. This early morning time should be used for spiritual cultivation. And we're very fortunate we have this process of Krishna consciousness, which is the so highly evolved in spiritual understanding. But if we want to appreciate it, then we should take advantage of this from a moment to time very steadily, every day, take advantage of this time for Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions or comments?
What is the Sanskrit root for this to be Kim Purusha and Kinara?
Kim Purusha? Kim Purusha. They're something like monkeys and something like human beings. So it's a question. Are these men? Kim means what? And Purusha, person. What kind of person is this? Kim Purusha. And Kim Naras? Same thing, huh? Kim Nara. Nara again means man, human being. What kind of man is this? That's the Sanskrit word. Similarly, King Kara, servant. King Kara, what can I do for you? Ayi Nandatunu King Kara, my dear son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your servant, what can I do for you? Please engage me in your service.
Hare Krishna, why is morning time suitable for spiritual progress? Why?
Well, even practically, if you analyze, if you want to do meditation, you want, what kind of atmosphere do you want? Busy? Everybody running around, rushing? All the traffic? Everything? Is that the atmosphere you want for meditation?
Peaceful.
You want a quiet, peaceful atmosphere. What time of day do you get that?
Morning.
You've answered your question. Some other question? Everything has its time. Romantic affairs. You know, who starts romantic affairs at like 7 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning? Nobody. Romantic, everyone knows romance is for the evening. Romantic affairs are evening business. Noontime. Nobody thinks about, you know, serious romantic affairs. Nobody goes to see the Taj Mahal in the noontime to, you know, give, you know, evening. That's when, that's the romantic time of the day. Time for a lot of other things, but if you're interested in romance, then evening time. And if you're interested in spiritual activities, morning time. It's every time of day is suitable for some particular kind of activity. Actually, evening time, for those who are spiritually advanced, is also used for hearing and chanting. Nidraya Priyate Namtam Yavavayena Chavavaya Divacharte Hayan Rajan Kutumba Badanenava. This is how a materialist wastes his life. In the evening, sleeping. Or, if possible, sex. That's how he spends his night. And divacharte hayan. And during the day, where is money? 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 Or kutumba badanenava, spending money for family affairs. So in this way, he wastes his whole life. Sleeping, sex, making money, spending money. That's his whole program. But the spiritually advanced persons use all their time for serving Krishna. When we hear in later in this canto, I think, about Manu, it's described how he was such a great king. He had naturally all of the paraphernalia and privileges of a king. So he used to arrange things in such a way that in the morning while rising and in the evening while taking rest, he would be hearing the glorification of the Lord. He'd be hearing the glories of the Lord. In that way, the whole his whole consciousness was purified by Krishna consciousness. The morning, wake up thinking of Krishna. The evening, take rest thinking of Krishna. And during the day, serve Krishna, chant the glories of Krishna. This is the idea. Yes, in the back.
The microphone.
Oh, you have the microphone. Well, okay, then you have power then.
I have another question. I have been asked before. You were discussing about appearing and disappearing from vision. And now, of course, there are mystical powers. No one can possibly block. There is another level of visibility and invisibility that seems to exist, which is by virtue of our ability to have either proper, let's say, proper concepts. For example, an animal may see this thing, but it doesn't see it as a microphone, and so it's not able to put it to use like that.
So that's a kind of invisibility, lack of knowledge.
Yeah, so it appears in some of the recent works when scientists are able to have sufficient number of results that seem to say that the ordinary world itself can be seen, is by and large invisible to us, even the so-called sensible world, because of proper, inadequate, I don't know, knowledge of what it
is. Sure, just like a drunkard. The ordinary world is invisible. For a person who's a drunkard, he gets up and he's stumbling around, banging into things. Because most of the world is invisible to him. Because he's stupefied. But even in our ordinary consciousness, so many things, Krishna's invisible, that's the biggest invisibility. Krishna's everywhere and we're not seeing him. But even in terms of ordinary things, without knowledge, we don't see. Therefore it's said, Mutho yam nanu pashanti, pashanti gana chakshasham. We don't see how a person is changing from one body to another, but a person who has knowledge can see. We don't see how a person who is being affected by three qualities of material nature, a person who has knowledge can see. If the president of India were to walk into this temple, I wouldn't see. Because I don't know who the president of India is. I haven't, any Indian gentleman could walk in and He might be, as far as I know, the president of India, and the president of India could walk in. As far as I know, he's an ordinary man, because I don't have knowledge. But if I'm instructed, if by hearing from the right source, well, this man is the president of India, then I start to see. Otherwise, he's invisible. He merges with the crowd. That's another kind of invisibility, that Krishna is invisible to the Maya bodies. Hiranmayena patrena sajyasyapi tamukam. He's hidden by the Brahmajyoti. They're so intent on seeing everything as one that they can't see the Supreme One. That's another kind of invisibility. What is that? In the Bhagavad Gita? Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavita muto yam navija. Krishna says, I keep myself invisible. I hide myself from the eyes of the non-devotees. Even Shishupal, Duryodhana, they could see Krishna, but they couldn't see Krishna. Pashanapi na pashinti. They could see Krishna, but they couldn't see who Krishna actually was. So for them, his spiritual opulences were hidden. And for devotees, Yamsham Sundaramachandrakuna Sarupa, he's always visible. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Have you gone to Bhaktivedanta? A little less aggressive. You don't have to speak so much into the microphone.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, good. Apart from that, you also have to speak more slowly. Dheere dheere boliye. Anubhad?
Yeah, he is asking that some devotees, they study the books, spiritual books, up to 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the night. How much beneficial is it?
Good. How beneficial is it to study the spiritual books up to 10 or 11 at night? It's beneficial. Anytime you read it, it's beneficial. 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. Prabhupada was translating the books at 1 in the morning. So Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, it's always beneficial. But then reading the spiritual books till 10 or 11 at night and then sleeping through the morning is not so beneficial. For the advanced devotees, they'll do everything, and they'll stay up all night also. They'll hardly sleep. The Goswamis, they were sleeping maybe half hour, an hour. So then you get a lot of extra time. You can read Bhagavatam, spiritual books. But for those of us who don't have that capability, better to get up early and read spiritual books and take rest early. Prabhupada used to quote, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Of course, the brahmacharis shouldn't become too wealthy, but they should at least be healthy and wise. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, you see in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a description of Maharaj Parikshit traveling around the surface, and he was going like Ketuma, Padrasya, Kekurusha Varsha, so many other, you know, varshas. So if they are in the archipelago, why?
Is it said that? Is that said in the first canto that he was going to Kim Purusha Varsha and so many varshas?
Yeah. Okay. He was traveling. So my question is, how it was possible for him to travel all the places, and why it is not known to the people scientifically, it is not just over.
What's possible for Maharaj Parikshit is not possible for everyone. He could do so many things that we can't do. What was possible then may not be possible now. We think that we're the most advanced, that what's possible for us now was not possible in previous days. Huh? Because we're so advanced, now we can do things that were impossible earlier. But if you go back far enough, you find that they could do things that are now impossible. In Kali Yuga, things deteriorate, actually. Days, the brahmacharis used to light the sacrificial fire by mantra. Any brahmacharis know how to do that? Why not? It was possible before. Why don't you do it now? We can save on matches. You know, it's always a problem at Tulsi Puja getting the ghee-wicks lit. You can just, any brahmachari can just come and chant the mantra. Problem solved. But these days, these things are not possible. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Given an option, that I have to change my house, and given an option, at that time I have a wonderful sankirtan going on, and at the same time there's beautiful pravachan going on for the Bhagavatam. At the same time I have to go and do my devotional service by collecting some permission for the Jagannath Rath Yatra. That these are the four options which are in front of me. Would you please guide me? And I'm a layman. What would be the first and second?
So you have four options to chant your chant, japa, to take part in sankirtan, to go do some collection, devotional service, and what was the other one? Read something? Read Srimad Bhagavatam class. Well, this is what's called in French, embarras de riche. You have so many good choices that it's overwhelming. You know, sometimes we look and say, all the choices are bad. If I do this, if I do that, if I do this, if I do this, and what you're describing is all the choices are good. So do any one of them. But we have to arrange our life in such a way that there's a time when we do each thing. Just like eating, that's necessary. Sleeping, that's necessary. Other things, but not all at once. Eating and sleeping at the same time is very difficult. So we assign a time. At this time I'll chant my rounds. At this time I'll attend the class. At this time I'll do some service. At this time. Generally, our acharyas have made a program that in the morning and the evening there should be hearing and chanting. And daytime, other kinds of service. Prabhupada had a formula. He said, Bhagavatam in the morning, banking in the afternoon. Prabhupada set the example. He would use this morning time for these spiritual activities of hearing and chanting. And then the later part of the day, answering correspondence, meeting with devotees, doing so many practical things. So you just have to arrange things in such a way. But particularly, we find that if we don't chant early in the morning, if we don't use the early morning hours for hearing and chanting and spiritual activities, the later part of the day, somehow or other, offers no time for them. Because everything gets busy, 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 busy. So this is another reason. Morning time, there's really nothing else that you have to do. There's nothing so urgent that it has to be done, 5 o'clock in the morning. Your suppliers are not calling you at 5 o'clock in the morning. You don't have to rush to the market at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, early in the morning, this is the thing to do. And if you do it early in the morning, then you're set. And if you leave it and do, you know, do your accounts early in the morning, when will you chant in here? So it's very practical. And again, in the evening, this is the time for hearing and chanting. It's not, so it's practical. Yes.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna. Don't you think that a devotee who is absorbed in the thought of Lord Krishna all the 24 hours, for him every mahotsav is a Brahma mahotsav?
For a devotee, yes, for a devotee who's always absorbed in thinking of Krishna, every moment is like Brahma Muhurta. But we're not on that level. And again, even the devotees who are on that level observe the value of Brahma Muhurta. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that for the self-realized soul, there's no duty to be performed. What is that in the Bhagavad Gita? Let's see. Yastvatma ratir eva syad atma triptas jamanava atmanyevas chasantushtas tasya karyam vidyate. The naiva tasya kritain arto na kritain eha kaschana na chasya sarva bhuteshu kaschya dharta vyapashita tasmad asakta satatam karyam karma samachara asakto hyacharan karma paramapnoti purusha. Karmanaiva hi sangsidhim astita janakadya loka sangraham evapi sampashyam kartam. Meaning is that a self-realized person has no duty to perform. He has no duty to perform because he's already above the level of the material world where all these duties exist. He's transcendental. So he has no reason to perform any duty. But Krishna says he also has no reason not to perform his duty. Therefore, Krishna says, he should perform his duties without attachment. The materialist performs duties with attachment. The transcendentalist has no attachment. Still, he should perform his duties, loka sangraha, for the sake of the ordinary people to set the example. And Krishna gives the example that Janakadiya, kings like Janak Maharaj, they followed prescribed duties. And finally Krishna says, even I follow prescribed duties. Name partasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana. In all the three worlds, there's no duty that I have to perform. Nanavaptam avaptavyam varta eva chukarmani. But even I perform duties. Why? Yadiham navartayam jatu karmanya tandritaha. If I didn't perform prescribed duties, nobody would. They'd all follow my example, and then everything would go to hell. Therefore, Krishna says that as sakta karmandya vidvamsho yata kurvanti bharata, as a person who's ignorant performs work with attachment, kuryad vidvams tata asaktas chakirshur loka sangham. So the self-realized person should perform activities without attachment to set the example for others. Prabhupada did that. He didn't have to get up for Brahma Muhurta. He didn't have to attend the Darshan Arti. But he strictly did these things. He strictly did these things. That's called acharya. He said he teaches by his example. Okay. We're running a little late now, maybe?
Thank you. the influence or effect of the time, and Krishna is time. So this prefer, so Krishna is influencing that different parts of the day in a different way, or it is our perception that
no, it's not simply perception. The different Krishna has arranged things so that there are different parts of the day arranged in different ways. He arranges for the sun to come up at a certain time and go down at a certain time. That's not just our imagination. That's a fact. Try plowing your field, you know, in the middle of the night. You can't do it. You require illumination, so Krishna provides daytime. Then you can plow your field, you can do so many things. At night you can't do that. The time, the seasons. If you plant at harvest season, then you're not going to go anywhere. You have to plant in the planting season and reap in the harvest season. So there's a time for everything. The time for everything. If the 8-year-old boy thinks, my father is having children, I'm going to have a child. No, what kind of child will he have? There are these psychological ideas that, you know, anything you want to do, you can do. It's all, you know, it's all in your mind. That's such nonsense. There's a real world out there. Not real in the sense of eternal. It's false in the sense of being temporal. But it's not, as the Mayavadis think, that it doesn't even exist. It's not even out there, it's just in your mind. It's there. Try walking through the wall. It's really there. But it's only temporarily there. The walls in Vaikuntha are eternally there. Okay. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.